It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes. Welcome. Get the microphone working. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is a beautiful Friday here in Austin, Texas. It's 1901 UTC, just clicked over, while you may or may not have been listening to the tail end of Bastille Day there. It's 36 degrees right now, 37's the high, and we're looking at, 36 or 37 is the high for the foreseeable future here in the area. No rain for many days. So I guess I'm going to have to just deal with it. But we're on the roof, having a good time. If you want to hang out and talk during the show, you're more than welcome to. There's a couple different ways to do that. Of course, me and Tobe and Harry Larry and a lot of people on SDF are on Mastodon. There's an instance at mastodon.sdf.org. There's also social.sdf.org if you're a member of SDF. And little old me, I'm over there in the Tildeverse at MNW at tilde.zone, tilde.zone. But you don't have to just do that. You can also jump on in onto XMPP. That's a fun chat protocol. It's available, and we're in the Anon Radio room over there at Anon, or it's Anon Radio at conference.sdf, conference.jabber.sdf.org. There we go. That's the full name. So there's that. I don't know. I think I might have left the room and not realized it on my comm or on my phone, but I am on it on my computer for sure. And then, of course, there's the proper way. I guess the way I'd say that's the most traditional way to communicate and hang out with all the cool people, and that's Commode Chat or comm. All you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org or tty.sdf.org if you're F.org if you are feeling spicy. And from there, all you gotta do is type COM and you press G for go to, and then you type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you will be in the cool Anon Radio room with all the fancy pantses like F-Fog, whose gopher clients are unfortunately being grumpy, Ratsu, Quentin, X1, Stug, J.R. Sharp, or Junior Sharp, you never know. And Stug and the whole crew is here, so welcome, welcome. Curl just had a big update recently. I follow one of the Curl developer over there on Mastodon. He was talking about an update coming up today, so that's going to be pretty cool. Or coming up soon, I think it was today. Oh, look at that, links. You can use links like Curl. Interesting. You know, Nantucket eBooks, they did a presentation at Libra Planet a couple years ago, and I really liked it. They're over there on Mastodon too, of course. But one of their things is their eBooks, the eBook reader. It's all a web platform, but the eBook format is equally readable in links with a Y or with an I, or in you can curl down the books. You can basically read the books however you'd like. But if you use a browser, you can like adjust the font size and everything else, and every book that's possible to has an audiobook attached to it. It's a kind of cool project. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Hey, Jay Lamoth, welcome, welcome. Is that Harley Guy? Might be. I think Harley Guy got tired of the hot weather and he put his bike up for the season, because I have not seen him in a while. Maybe he's on vacation. Nope, nobody out there. There is a guy. There's Bicycle Man. I've seen him ride by a few times, but usually it's after the show. Bicycle Man rides a beach cruiser, and he wears a big cowboy hat. He pedals uphill down the big highway here. All right. Just pardon me. All right, one last thing from me, and then we'll get into the news. And that was just that... I was excited yesterday because I got some AirPods. I was all excited because they're AirPods, if you're not aware, are the Apple-branded Bluetooth headphones for your iPhone. And that's the phone I have, is an iPhone. So I thought, I was excited because the app I use to broadcast is called Izzycast. 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 And, or Zicast, I guess. And that app, this app, it says it supports Bluetooth. But anytime I turn on Bluetooth support, it crashes. So in the past, I was able to use a different headset sometimes, but it would crash frequently. So I think the app's probably not updated very often, and it's the only app that exists that works for broadcasting. So I'm not going to knock it, and I'll just keep using my wired headphones. So no audio change, and we'll keep on going from the roof. So let's get going. There's some death and destruction, not as much as you'd expect on a Friday, but, you know, we'll power through it. We'll see what's going on. Go over here to our desktop bookmarks and look for our July 27th. Oh, it's July 28th. We better sync our app first. Go over here, go to settings and hit sync. Sync now or forever hold your peace. Syncing, 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 syncing. This is the sinking noise. All right, here we go. Now we got some bookmarks. July 28th. Are you ready? Like to hear it? Here it go. All right. At least 8 were killed as a van carrying tourists plunges into a ravine in GB's Diamer. At least 8 people, including a child, were killed and 9 others were injured on Friday when a van carrying tourists plunged into a ravine near Babusar Pass in the Diamer district of Gilgit-Baltistan, officials said. This is in Pakistan. Diamer Rescue 1122 District Coordinator Shaukat Riaz, while confirming the death toll to Dawn.com, said the accident took place after the vehicle collided with a car. Meanwhile, Chile's Deputy Superintendent of Peace of police, excuse me, Wazir Liquat said the van carrying 16 tourists was headed to Gilgit from Sahiwal. After it fell into the ravine, the van caught fire, adding that the wounded persons were being moved to the Chilis Regional Headquarters Hospital. One body had been brought to the health facility in Chilis, where the remaining were referred to Naran. He said that the deaths occurred due to severe injuries. The wounded include 4 women, 4 children, and a man. Earlier this month, 6 people were killed and 17 others when a bus carrying tourists plunged into a ravine on the Karakoram Highway near the Tailichi area in GB. Previously, 5 tourists were killed and 13 injured in 2 traffic accidents when a van fell into a ravine and crashed into a mountain. So it sounds like if you're in a van in Pakistan as a tourist, try not to go near any ravines because you may become a statistic. I forbidden, fake, fake, 0, a JPEG, that is a text. Next news story coming at you. More people dead in the shoes. That's right, it's Chicago police have found a teen's body in the freezer of a man accused of stabbing a contractor to death with a screwdriver. There you go. While investigating a 33-year-old suspect charged with murdering a 69-year-old HVAC contractor to death in broad daylight, authorities say they found a teenager's body in the suspect's freezer. The 2 deaths are linked by one man, according to authorities, Brandon Sanders. According to ABC 7 Chicago, during an investigation of the suspect's home, police discovered a teenager's body in the freezer. The victim was identified as 18-year-old Iman Al-Siraj. Mr. Sanders has not been charged with the murder of Al-Siraj. My heart is shattered in a million pieces, his father told the Sun-Times. I will never, ever have a normal life, especially after I saw my daughter's face and what the monster did to her. Mr. Sanders has been charged in another case, however. Rasim Katanik was stabbed on May 12th around 4:40 p.m. as he was working on a walk-in cooler compressor on the rooftop of a restaurant. More than a month later, Mr. Sanders of Evanston, Illinois, was arrested for the fatal stabbing. So, yeah, kind of wild. He killed one person and they're like, oh, hey, there's a body in the freezer. Who would have thought? X1's letting no commas talking about a file online. Okay, thank you.
Motor vehicle operation in India always seems like a real gamble, Quentin points out. And F-Fog is missing his high quality CRT.
I think that's something we can all talk about missing. One of my friends, he had a large, like a 20-inch CRT, and I was very jealous. And if I remember correctly, I believe it's this large CRT that we...
A non-radio.
Icecasting on a non-radio.net. Port 7070.
A non-radio.
Icecasting on a non-radio.net. Port 7070.
A non-radio.
A dead man in his freezer. Well, we have some dead people in the world's freezer, too. Human remains were found on a glacier close to Switzerland's famous Matterhorn, and they've been confirmed to be the body of a German climber that was missing since 1986. The discovery is the latest in a number of long-held secrets that the Alpine glaciers, now rapidly shrinking due to climate change, have revealed. The body was discovered earlier this month by climbers crossing the Theodol Great Glacier above Zermatt. They noticed a hiking boot and crampons emerging from the ice. DNA analysis showed the body to be that of a German climber who disappeared 37 years ago. A huge search and rescue operation at the time failed to find any trace of him. Police didn't name the climber, but said he was age 38 when he went missing during a hike. The glacier, like glaciers across the Alps, has shown a marked retreat in the last few years. It's part of Zermatt's famous year-round ski region, the highest in Europe. But the Alpine ice fields are especially sensitive to global warming. Until the 1980s, Theodol was still connected to its neighbor, the Gorner Glacier, but the two have now split apart. Almost every summer, melting ice reveals something or someone lost for decades. Last year, the wreckage of a plane that crashed in 1968 emerged from the Alps Glacier. Check in with Calm real quick, see what's going on. Oh, drop. MNW went poof. MNW is back. Oh. So we're checking in on Calm. Apparently I had a drop there. Yeah, it looks like my client is showing that I had a drop too. Let's see. Does my noisemaker... Oh, good. The timing track is still timing, so we should get exit music. I always feel accomplished if I end the show and we get to hear the exit music. Because if you hear the intro music... There's a track playing that should play when it hit 30 minutes, but depending on how late I am, we don't get to hear it that often. All right, so Calm saying I'm back. So, yeah, glacier melts and reveals a body. Let's go here, F-Fog, plus plus. Thank you for the summary. All right, cool, my Calm's good. And X1, push, push. Poosh, poosh in the bush. All right. Do you guys remember that song? Poosh, poosh in the bush. Poosh, poosh in the bush. Anyway, let's keep on moving. We got more news to talk about. Cool stuff. Not cool stuff. All the kinds of things. Fires in Greece are forcing F-16s to evacuate. A security zone has been set up around a Greek Air Force base after wildfires triggered powerful explosions at an ammunition depot. Shockwaves were felt miles away, and 133 residents of the nearby town of Nea Achiaros escaped by sea. The coastal base is home to Greece's 111th Combat Wing, and F-16 planes flew to another base as a precaution.
F-16's missiles and bombs are stored at the depot 6 kilometers away north of the planes and the runway, which is about 4 miles. As the wildfire reached the western end of the base on Thursday evening, police set up a perimeter, and the area was rocked by several powerful explosions, including a dramatic blast heard at 1918 local time, 1618 GMT. No one was hurt, but windows were shattered, and several villages in the area were evacuated as church bells rang out warning residents to leave their home. That's the big destruction going on. Now let's talk about some other cool stuff that was news to me. Arthur is a fun show. It used to be on PBS all the time. It might still be. But Arthur Children's Book is facing a Florida ban over claiming that it damages souls. That's right. Hey, there goes the Southwest Airlines plane flying. What do you know? Southwest. It is coming. It's not flying over the parking garage today. They're a little further out. Anyway, sorry. A title in the Arthur Children's Book series is facing a potential ban after a conservative activist claims that it damaged souls. On July 12th, Bruce Friedman, a member of the Clay County School District's community in Florida and now a certified nutter, filed a challenge to Arthur's Birthday, a 1989 children's book by Mark Brown about a fictional brown aardvark whose birthday falls on the same day as in the party of a different classmate. At one point in the book, Arthur receives a glass bottle from Francine the monkey as a birthday present. The bottle has the words "Francine Spin the Bottle Game" printed on it. According to the challenge, which the Daily Beast website published, noted for being a source of truth. No, not really. The reason for Friedman's ban is to protect children. "It's not appropriate to discuss Spin the Bottle with elementary school children," he wrote. "This book is found in all school districts." "Spin the Bottle, not okay for K-5 kids," Friedman added, still using all capital letters. The result of students using the material, he wrote, "damaged souls." So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Every Christian extremist seems to go to Florida, and then they just pass laws according to the insanity there. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Taylor Swift fans have caused seismic activity in Seattle. That's pretty cool. Taylor Swift's Eras Tour performances at Lumen Field in Seattle on July 22nd and 23rd generated seismic activity equivalent to a 2.3 magnitude earthquake, according to seismologist Jackie Kaplan Auerbach. A local seismometer detected activity generated by dancing fans comparable to the famous 2011 Beast Quake, when Seattle Seahawks fans erupted in response to running back Marshawn Lynch's scoring of a touchdown in an NFC wildcard game against the New Orleans Saints. Swift sold out both nights in Seattle. Let's see. The tour is one of the most expensive ever, costing an estimated $100 million. Concerts have been known on occasion to register activity, like in 2011, the Foo Fighters in New Zealand, and a 2022 Garth Brooks concert at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge. So that's kind of fun. I just thought it was a nice little Friday story, not so death and destruction-y. But speaking of cool stories and cool stuff going on, it's Friday, which means at 19:30 UTC, right here on Anon Radio, there is Dubious Goals Committee. It's a fantastic show, fun show. You've got Tobe, you've got maybe Pippa, maybe balls, golf balls, polo balls, I don't know. Whatever kind of balls that might be used in sports, there's a chance they're there. Ball joint baby dolls. There is no telling. There's no limit to the excitement and adventure that you may have during the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every goddamn day right here on Anon Radio at 19:30 UTC. That's right, not just on Fridays. Monday, Tuesday, holidays, your mom's funeral, dad's birthday, Rosh Hashanah, Christmas, any day except Tobe surgery days are right here on Anon Radio with the Dubious Goals Committee. So check that out. And then also at 20 hours, so after the Dubious Goals Committee, we've got Harry Larry and Something Blue. Now, that is a show that airs every Friday at 20 hours. That's a fun show. A lot of blues from the Delta, and around there. It's great. It's one of those things that, like, if you are lucky enough to be ending your workday around now, oh man, you listen to the Dubious Goals Committee, you get your relax on, you unwind, and then you get some blues. And by the time you finish, about halfway through the Something Blue, pour yourself a nice stiff drink. And by the time Something Blue's over, you're in weekend mode. That's how I like to do my Fridays. This Friday, I can't. I'm at work. And I'm working at the office. I'm on the roof. So, you know, that's how that goes. Let's see. X1 likes to walk on his hands. And F-Fog is all about the ball washers. I like the logo-free design myself. Let's see what J-Lamoth's got. I don't know what that has to do with Friday. That's every goddamn day. Yep. Stug pointing out, just balls. Balls galore. And Quentin pointing out, yeah, Tobe does cover a lot, large spectrum of balls. So anyway, yeah, so shout out to Tobe and Harry Larry. Look forward to your shows later today. Alcohol not required, but encouraged. And don't forget to tip your wait staff. All right, so there are two ancient Roman finds that I'm just going to briefly touch on. First, they were digging up they were going to build a Four Seasons hotel in near the Vatican in Italy. Well, since it's such an ancient place and Rome was there and all this stuff, wouldn't you know it, you can't really dig any depth underground without finding some ruins. And they found the ruins of ancient Nero's theater discovered under the garden of future Four Seasons near the Vatican. Rome's next luxury hotel has some very good bones, archaeologists said Wednesday, that the ruins of Nero's theater, an imperial theater referred to in ancient Roman texts but never found, has been discovered under the garden of the future Four Seasons Hotel, steps from the Vatican. So that will be kind of cool. And also in the water, they found a shipping vessel, an ancient Roman cargo ship found on the bottom of the Mediterranean. The vessel, from the 1st or 2nd century BC, contains hundreds of jars, giving archaeologists insight into ancient maritime trade routes. Ancient Roman cargo ships dating back to the 1st or 2nd BC have been found at the bottom of the Mediterranean, what's been described as exceptional discovery. The vessel was loaded with hundreds of jars, which was found at a depth of about 160 meters, close to Civitavecchia, an Italian port city about 50 miles from Rome. The exceptional discovery represents an important example of the sinking of a Roman ship which faced the perils of sea in an attempt to reach the coast, and bears witness to the ancient maritime trade routes. So, police are out there trying to make sure nobody goes over there and steals their precious pots, or tries to pick them up and throw them on the ground in order to get rupees. That's also a good way to find chickens if you are playing Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. You may or may not be familiar with the Christian story of the virgin birth, but it goes that God came down and put a baby inside of Mary, and then that baby that was born was Jesus, the Savior of mankind. Well, scientists have figured out how to do it in a different way, no God required. Scientists have said they genetically engineered female fruit flies that can have offspring without needing a male, marking the first time virgin birth has been induced in an animal. I like the idea that flies are somehow virgins in this scenario. The offspring of the flies were also able to give birth without mating, showing that the trait could be passed down generations, and another first revealed in a study in the journal Current Biology on Thursday. Virgin birth, also called parthenogenesis, is rare but not unheard of in the animal kingdom. The females of some egg-laying animals, such as lizards and birds, are capable of giving birth without mating, usually later in life when no males are available. Scientists revealed last month that a female crocodile in a Costa Rican zoo who'd never been near a male laid an egg containing a fully formed fetus. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool. I was like, hey, no Jesus required. Parthenogenesis. Spain has closed its Pegasus investigation. You know, that was the iOS spyware that Israeli company put out and Israel's been using for a while. Well, get this. A Spanish judge investigating the alleged hacking of ministers' phones with Pegasus spyware has shelved the investigation over a complete lack of cooperation from Israel. In June 2022, Jose Luis Calama said he had sent a formal request for international judiciary assistance, to the Israeli government asking for information about the software firm NSO Group. He said that he wanted to go there in person to take a witness statement, but they've gotten no cooperation, no response from the government. Surprise, surprise. Spyware maker does not want to meet with the government. Now, this is a big story, and it combines a few different pieces, so it's going to kind of cross things together for us. Niger is having a coup, right? They're kind of undergoing a change in government. Current events in Niger mean world attention is turning to the West African uranium-producing country. Here's an overview of Nigeria's uranium sector, and this is what I think will be interesting to those who are listening, and maybe those who might want to listen to a step further out with Publius at 1900 UTC on Saturday. It'll be tomorrow. Let me make sure I didn't drop. All right, cool. I moved locations. I didn't want to lose you. We've got about 4 minutes to go, so we got to get cracking. After reports on July 26th that presidential guards had seized the president, General Chiani, also known as Omar Chiani, went on national TV and declared himself the new leader. The president became president following a runoff election in February 2021, in which he won 55% of the vote. Niger produced 2,248 tons of uranium in 2021, around 5% of the world's uranium output. Current production is from the open pit operations of SOMER, Société de Mines de l'Air, near the town of Arlet. SOMER is 63.4% owned by French company Orano and 36.6% owned by SOPAMIN, or the Société du Patrimoine des Mines du Niger. SOPAMIN manages Niger's state participation in mining ventures. According to the data from the World Bank, uranium is Nigeria's second largest export in monetary terms after gold. Uranium was discovered in 1957 there, and Niger supplies 5% of the world's uranium, but it's leading supplier of uranium to the European Union, according to the Euratom Supply Agency. We're going to run out of time to go through the whole thing, but world-nuclear-news.org is where you can read about it. Niger is a very important uranium supplier to the EU. And guess what? We're kind of wanting to use more nuclear power. So this could be the first kind of Western propping up of a country to get at their sweet, sweet radioactive material. Anyway, check it out if you want. If you don't, that's cool too. Let's talk about more nuclear stuff. Alaska, the state in the United States, has simplified microreactor regulations. The U.S. state of Alaska has adopted regulations to streamline the regulatory process for the siting of microreactors. The new regulations, which waive some requirements imposed on larger nuclear facilities, comes into effect in August. Constructing any nuclear facility in Alaska requires both federal and state permits. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is the authority over civilian nuclear safety. All aspects pertaining to safety for each application are addressed in the NRC permitting process. The state's power is limited to siting or where you can put the nuclear plant. So this isn't a huge deal, but it is hopefully a way to make things a little bit cheaper. All right. Well, that's all the time we got today. Please stick around for Dubious Goals Committee and then Harry Larry afterwards. And then check out Dubious Goals tomorrow and a step further out, 1900, 1930 UTC. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for being here. Y'all rule. Rule, rule, rule. Oh man, I don't know if we're going to get to hear the exit music. I hope so. It's time.